Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The charges that were filed against me are 100% absolutely false. At no time did I personally ever threaten to hurt anybody. And the words that are printed in the complaint against me prove that I never said that I personally was going to do any of those things.
That was North Bergen-based ultra-right-wing blogger and radio host Hal Turner. He was arrested in June for allegedly posting threats to assault and murder three federal appeals court judges in Chicago who upheld gun bans. That message from jail that we just heard was to his audience, partly of neo-Nazis and white supremacists. But the story is actually more complicated. Hal Turner was reportedly on the FBI's payroll. Mike Kelly and Peter Sampson of The Record broke this news over the weekend about the extent to which the FBI was using Hal Turner as an informant in its battle against domestic terrorism. Turner's function as an informant and the money he got paid to do it were more than anyone had previously thought, according to this article. Hal Turner's trial starts tomorrow in federal district court in Brooklyn. Mike Kelly, columnist at The Record, joins me now. Hi, Mike. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
This is an unusual story. And first, tell our listeners who maybe have never heard of Hal Turner who exactly he is and how he wound up getting charged with a crime.
Well, if you think of Hal Turner, try to imagine Rush Limbaugh, I guess, squared. This guy is so far to the right of what we generally think are right-wing talk show hosts in America, and he regularly uses racist and anti-Semitic language, not only on the air but in his blog, and tells his listeners that people who disagree with gun laws, be they judges or federal and state legislators, deserve to be killed. And that's what got him in trouble last summer when he wrote on his blog that three federal appeals court judges in Chicago deserve to be killed for upholding the gun ban.
And that's there, right? This is not an allegation. That's just there on his blog. Quote,
yes.
Let me be the first to say this plainly. These judges deserve to be killed, correct?
Yes. And you also said it's reportedly that he's an FBI informant. There's no doubt about it, Brian. We both confirmed this with the FBI and with Turner himself, and we've got the documents to back it up. This guy was indeed an FBI informant.
And additionally, he said about these judges who upheld gun laws, their blood will replenish the tree of liberty. And I want to replay the clip of Hal Turner that we started with, where he lays out his defense. He's not denying that he wrote these things on his blog. Let me be the first to say this plainly. These judges deserve to be killed. But listen to this distinction that he makes.
The charges that were filed against me are 100% absolutely false. At no time did I personally ever threaten to hurt anybody. And the words that are printed in the complaint against me prove that I never said that I personally was going to do any of those things.
So, Mike Kelly, there's the First Amendment question, I guess, right? The difference between saying that somebody deserves to be killed and making a threat.
Yeah, this case really involves a lot of things, Brian, not the least of which is the First Amendment and how far can we take that, what we say, before we get in trouble with the FBI or local law enforcement authorities for threatening language. And the Hal Turner case is going to address that, I believe, directly. But I think there's another issue here that is really part of this whole First Amendment debate, and that is this. The FBI knew that Turner was a media personality. I mean, the FBI and police organizations infiltrate dangerous groups all the time, and Turner was recruited essentially to infiltrate the Klan, the Aryan Nations, and other neo-Nazi type white supremacist groups around the country. And the issue here was the fact that this guy was on the air every day saying things that were provocative. So the question is, was the federal government, through the guise of the FBI, essentially advocating hate speech as a way of getting into these groups? The documents we saw showed continuous moments where the FBI was admonishing Turner and telling him to not goes so far. But it really raises a question here as to what was the role of the federal government and how far they were able to go with Turner. Turner claims that they basically allowed him to do what he was doing and kind of sanctioned it. The government says, no, we never sanctioned threatening speech, but you know they are the first to acknowledge that they did find Turner as a productive and valued informant.
Did he turn up anybody in particular? Did he infiltrate right-wing domestic terror groups successfully, as far as you know?
Oh, yeah. We saw documents where he was traveling to meet with members of the Aryan Nation, the National Alliance, which is a white supremacist group. He even went, with the FBI's permission, he even traveled to Brazil to meet with white supremacists there who were considering making a million dollar donation to their counterparts here in the United States. So he did quite a bit of work. He also claims that he was used as a kind of, we could find no evidence of this, I have to tell you. He claims that he was used as a kind of leak plugger within the Justice Department. And this is where you get into, and the way this would work is that Turner would say something on his radio show, and he claims that the FBI would then monitor who in the Justice Department was trying to access his file, and therefore they could determine who was leaking information to such groups as the Anti-Defamation League, the Southern Poverty Law Center, that sort of thing. We could find absolutely no evidence of that. But the story, I think, raises an interesting question about Turner himself. What was the extent of what he was doing? How much did he believe that he was, an agent of the FBI? As he put it to me on a number of occasions when I interviewed him in jail, he said, I was a deep undercover operative and that sort of thing.
Well, who was he before that? I mean, if he's going on, and, you know, we listened to some of the really offensive clips of him, and we decided not to put them on the air because there's no reason in playing him using the N-word and, you know, defining that by his lights and things like that. But, I mean, really, really racist stuff against President Obama personally and other things. Is there an indication that he didn't believe any of it? This was just all part of his act?
It's a very good question, Brian. I questioned him directly about that. I said, what do you really believe in? And I went through a whole litany of questions with him. And he kind of fudges on this a little bit. He does say emphatically that he did not mean to threaten anybody. He doesn't want anybody to be killed and that sort of thing. But there is a line that this guy is walking, and it's a very curious line. He claims that and we found even documents, emails that he sent to the FBI, where he was saying that the person who's on the air is not really the real Hal Turner. And this is, again, an interesting question. Who are these people who are on the air and performing in these ways like this, who claim to be, you know, right-wing radio talk show hosts? We've heard this before from these guys. But in this case, the guy was working for the FBI.
Do you know how much money he's gotten paid by the FBI over how long a time?
We were able to find tens of thousands of dollars in receipts, Brian. We couldn't come up with an accurate number for all the years, but in one year in particular, the FBI had budgeted $100,000.
And he says the FBI coached him to make racist, anti-Semitic, and other threatening or hateful statements. Does he say how specifically or who?
He does. He goes into quite a bit about this, and he talks about agents specifically sitting him down and talking to him about Supreme Court cases and that sort of thing that would give him some guidelines on this. In fairness to the FBI, the documents that we reviewed indicate do not back up this story. That in fact the documents we saw indicate that the FBI was continually going to him and saying, "Don't say this, don't say that." So it raises the question. By giving him instructions on what not to say or admonishing him, which is the word that continually turned up in the documents, was the FBI essentially instructing him what he could and could not say?
And you found that his connection to the FBI started in 2003 with the Newark-based Joint Terrorism Task Force. Turner's defense attorney plans to subpoena Governor-elect Christie to testify about whether he advised the FBI on Turner while Christie was U.S. attorney in Newark, who reports up that same chain. What's Christie's alleged involvement in this?
Well, unclear, Brian.
And alleged only by Hal Turner, not alleged by the government, right?
That's right. That's right. What was going on here, what we could determine was that there was definitely a connection between Hal Turner and the Joint Terrorism Task Force, which is the FBI in Newark. But the connection between the Joint Terrorism Task Force and the U.S. Attorney's Office is not necessarily a direct connection. Usually with confidential informants, the way it works is this, that when the FBI is ready to bring a case, and if that confidential informant is going to testify in the case, then that informant's identity is revealed to U.S. Federal prosecutors. So that's when Christie would be brought in. But we weren't able to determine whether that link was made, and if in fact that link was made, was Turner actually a known quantity to Christie. Now, we do know this. We do know that the U.S. Attorney's Office in Newark under Chris Christie looked into Hal Turner and whether or not to prosecute him for some of the threatening words that he was making on the air, and they declined to prosecute, as did a number of other U.S. attorneys around the country. It was only in Chicago last June that the U.S. Attorney, Patrick Fitzgerald, decided to prosecute Turner.
We just have 30 seconds left. What would be the implications for Christie if he was aware of the connection between Turner and the FBI?
Not sure, because the FBI was able, I think there is some evidence that Turner was a valued and productive informant for the FBI. And, of course, Christie, as U.S. attorney, if he knew about that, he was part of the whole federal law enforcement bureaucracy. So maybe he knew, maybe he didn't. I'm not sure there is a plus or a minus to that one yet, but it remains to be seen how this plays out.
All right. In any case, a very interesting piece of reporting by Mike Kelly and Peter Sampson in The Record today about Hal Turner, who goes on trial in Brooklyn federal court tomorrow, and his hate speech and connections to the FBI. Mike, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.